When COVID-19 emerged in early 2020, the world was already fracturing. Brexit negotiations threatened European unity, climate change sparked global protests, refugee crises strained international cooperation, and developing nations faced mounting debt. This wasn't the optimistic globalization of the 1990s and 2000s. Then came news from Beijing of a novel coronavirus potentially worse than SARS. This wasn't an unpredictable black swan event, but a gray rhino, an obvious threat consistently underestimated by global leaders. The virus exploited our interconnected world precisely as virologists had predicted. Air travel, which had grown from 310 million passengers in 1970 to 4.3 billion in 2019, became the perfect transmission mechanism. The economic impact was unprecedented. 95% of economies contracted simultaneously, 3 billion adults faced workplace disruption, 1.6 billion young people had education interrupted, and the World Bank estimated $10 trillion in lost lifetime earnings. What made COVID-19 unique was how it exposed globalization's fundamental contradiction. The very networks enabling prosperity, international travel, complex supply chains, urban concentration became vectors for viral transmission. Unlike financial crises addressable through monetary policy, this biological threat required physical separation, directly attacking our interconnected world's foundations. For a catastrophic month following Wuhan's outbreak, most countries treated China's crisis as distant, exhibiting dangerous denial. By early February, data clearly showed the virus's transmission patterns, yet the international community failed to coordinate a response, a critical missed opportunity. While Boris Johnson dismissed pandemic panic and other leaders showed similar complacency, explicit warnings from WHO and IMF leaders at the February 15th Munich Security Conference were overshadowed by routine geopolitical discussions. Financial markets displayed a striking disconnect. Asian investors moved to safer assets, while Western markets assumed this would follow SARS or MERS patterns, brief regional disruptions with quick recoveries. This split reflected the broader failure to recognize COVID-19's unique threat. The pandemic's true scope became undeniable in late February, with simultaneous outbreaks in South Korea, Iran, and Italy. On February 22nd, Italy quarantined 50,000 people in Europe's first major lockdown. On February 24th, markets finally awakened, shedding nearly $6 trillion as investors recognized the pandemic's potential to disrupt global supply chains. Meanwhile, South Korea emerged as an effective response model, rapidly scaling testing capacity through public-private partnerships. Italy's early March 2020 decisions triggered unprecedented shutdowns, though citizens often acted before official mandates. Data confirms this self-protective behavior. British spending dropped before lockdowns, while Americans began social distancing after the March 9 market crash. COVID-19 delivered a rare supply shock unlike typical disruptions. Rather than affecting technology or wealth variables, it operated through our bodies. Air travel exemplifies this. The challenge wasn't flying planes, but safely transporting people in crowded spaces. This exposed the human body as the fundamental economic denominator, entangling work, production, and reproduction in ways no conventional stimulus could address. The crisis stress-tested labor markets worldwide. European welfare states adapted with short-time working schemes, supporting up to one-third of employees. Meanwhile, India's lockdown triggered a migration of up to 20 million people fleeing cities, with unemployment reaching 27%, as only 19% of India's 471 million workers had social security. The pandemic revealed critical weaknesses in state administration, from outdated citizen registers hampering vaccine distribution to inadequate databases hindering contact tracing. It highlighted our failure to properly value essential workers and care infrastructure while exposing the organized irresponsibility of global governance. March 2020 brought catastrophic financial losses, with America's stock markets experiencing their worst day since the 1987 crash. The Dow plunged nearly 3,000 points on March 16th, triggering multiple trading halts. But the real concern wasn't equities, it was bond markets, particularly U.S. Treasuries, traditionally the safest haven. With nearly $17 trillion in circulation, U.S. Treasury securities represent the ultimate safe asset globally. Yet in March 2020, investors abandoned the traditional run for safety and made a panic-stricken dash for cash. They sold everything, shares, corporate bonds, gold, and even treasuries, sending interest rates higher when businesses desperately needed them to fall. Unlike the 2008 crisis centered on mortgage-backed securities, 2020's situation made the treasury market the epicenter. Major banks, constrained by capital requirements, were unwilling to absorb large bond sales. A dysfunctional treasury market threatened national security by potentially limiting the government's ability to fund its pandemic response. On March 23rd, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell made his historic "whatever it takes" declaration. The Fed established 9 separate facilities to backstop private credit markets, serving as lender of last resort, supporting large employers through corporate bond purchases, and stabilizing public debt markets through unlimited treasury buying. The pandemic exposed America's fragmented healthcare system and inadequate safety net, while China contained the virus effectively, highlighting systemic differences between the powers. George Floyd's killing in May 2020 became a catalyst exposing racial injustice, sparking unprecedented protests with 15 to 26 million participants across 2,000 cities. Corporate America responded decisively. Jamie Dimon took a knee, J.P. Morgan pledged $30 billion for minority loans, and major companies launched significant diversity initiatives. As critics labeled Trump authoritarian, his administration blamed adversaries, positioning Republicans as defenders of working-class Americans allegedly betrayed by coastal elites, deepening national divides. The 2020 election revealed America's polarization. Though Biden won with 306 electoral votes, Republicans performed better than expected in congressional races. Biden's 509 counties generated 71% of GDP, while Trump's 2,547 counties represented regions with lower educational attainment and declining industrial bases. Meanwhile, coronavirus vaccine development emerged as one of science's greatest achievements. After genome sequencing in January 2020, multiple vaccine projects began within days, with Pfizer announcing 95% efficacy by November, quickly followed by similarly impressive results from Moderna and AstraZeneca. The pandemic unexpectedly fostered European solidarity, with Angela Merkel reversing her no Eurobond stance in May 2020 to support an EU-financed reconstruction fund with grants rather than loans. COVID-19 also strengthened climate commitments, as Europeans viewed the pandemic as a warning about systemic risks, leading the European Commission to release a draft climate law committing to carbon neutrality by 2050. China's economic ascent accelerated, with forecasts suggesting it would exceed America in current dollar terms by 2028-29 instead of the mid-2030s, and by the 2030s would surpass Japan and the U.S. combined. Technology emerged as a key battleground, with the U.S. restricting Huawei while Beijing implemented its dual circulation strategy and announced a $1.4 trillion program for strategic technology sectors. As the CCP celebrated its centennial in 2021, Xi Jinping announced the elimination of poverty through a campaign lifting 99 million rural Chinese above the poverty line, declaring that time and momentum favored China. If 2020 taught us anything, it's how quickly our worldview can be upended. The convergence of environmental, economic, political, and geopolitical pressures makes de-escalation nearly impossible. We must remain humble and open to revising our understanding during these unprecedented times. as the future will likely make 2020's disruptions seem merely the opening act of a profound global transformation.